11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, as we talk about our report card. How does your report card look tonight? I never did like report cards in school, especially elementary school. Back when I was in elementary school, they would send home those report cards, you know, every 9 weeks. And there'd be either be an S or a U. S for satisfactory, U for unsatisfactory. And I always hated, I don't know why they trusted the kids, but for us, they would give us the report cards to take home to have our parents sign them. And I never did like giving that. I liked it when there were all S's, but if there was ever a U, I always hated having to show that to my dad. Not that he would be mad or anything. I just felt guilty having an unsatisfactory mark on the report card. But tonight we're going to talk about our report card with God. And looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." For by it the elders obtained a good report. Father, we do thank you for the good day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for watching over us throughout the day. Lord, just allowing us to have an enjoyable afternoon and to be gathered together again tonight. Thank you, Father, for the songs that we've sung. Lord, just the fact that we can always find hope in the fact that there is a perfect place prepared for us. A place where there is no trials, a place where there are no headaches, there's no difficulties. It is completely joy and peace for eternity, and we look forward to that. But Lord, thank you for the joy and peace we can even have now in our life as we walk the path that you have placed us on. Help us, Lord, to always be encouraged with the fact that you are walking with us on the path that you've placed before us. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight, guide us according to your will, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, talking tonight about our report card with God, and as the Bible says here, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're very familiar with faith. We know that as God's people, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. We are to allow our faith to guide us as our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord, and we know that God is always there to help us. He is a present help in time of need. But as chapter 11 is considered the hall of faith, the chapter of faith, it names several people that God lifts up because of their faith in his ability, their faith in God's faithfulness and God's ability to do anything for them, to help them out in time of need, and just even the fact that we know that God receives us when we do come to him. And God does consider our faith, and he does at times, he will grade our faith. Again, we may not really enjoy, when I was in school, I did not enjoy it all the time. When I was at elementary school, the hour that I liked the most was lunch and recess. Those two went hand in hand. We had lunch, and then we went outside for recess. The other hours I was there, I could have done without. But again, you go because you're supposed to learn your English and learn your ABCs and 1-2-3s and all that goes along with that. But when you think about the faith that God wants us to have, it is a faith that completely trusts him. It is a faith that is graded at different times. We see that in the life of the disciples when Jesus would kind of reprimand them, kind of tell them, "Oh, ye of little faith," when he would take them out into a storm that he knew was going to overtake them. He would just, at different times, give them a test to test their faith, to help build their faith. And we see in this chapter that he names some that had great faith. And I want you to just even look with me at verse 6 real quick. We'll come back to verse 6 towards the end. But verse 6 reminding us, and these are verses that we already know, but it reminds us, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We want to have a good report with God, and the way to have a good report with God is to have a strong faith in God, in all that we do and all that we say, trusting Him, doing for Him as He asks us to do. And the first person I want us to look at is verse number 4, as we look at Abel. Abel is the one that's mentioned first, obviously Abel being the son of Adam and Eve, the brother to Cain. And the Bible says in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The Bible specifically says that Abel offered of his sacrifice by faith. And what was that sacrifice? You go back to Genesis, he offered the sacrifice of a lamb. His brother Cain offered the sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, of his own labor, what he thought would be pleasing to God. And yet by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, because Abel was offering by faith what God wanted. What God wanted, and it cost Abel something. Now, eventually it would cost him his life, because his brother would become jealous over him and not be satisfied with God being pleased with his brother's sacrifice and not his own sacrifice. But Abel found faith with God, and by faith he offered a sacrifice that did cost him something. God is always pleased with our sacrifices that we do give to him when they are the right sacrifice. I want you to look with me at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and we'll go to Proverbs chapter 3. But Abel offered to God exactly what God wanted, which was a living sacrifice. And we know in Romans chapter 12, the Bible does tell us that we are to be living sacrifices. We are to be offering ourselves to our Lord to do whatever He wants to in our life and through our life. In Mark chapter 12, though, Jesus had those that would come to Him and question Him on whether or not they should. In fact, look at verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto Him, Master, and these were those of the Pharisees, we know that Thou art true and carest for no man, for Thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. And they asked Him this question, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But He, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and He saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto Him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at Him. Again, they were tempting Jesus on whether or not they should give taxes to the government, where they should give taxes to Caesar or not. And Jesus, obviously, you can never trip up Jesus. You can never trick Jesus into saying something that is contrary. But Jesus simply gives them the truth and says, well, whatever belongs to Caesar's, give it to them. But we got to make sure that what belongs to God, we give to God. And you and I belong to the Lord. Now, He's talking about money, and I think you could use that. Again, the tithes and offerings belong to the Lord, and we should never rob God of what belongs to Him, the tithes and offerings. You go to Malachi, and we're taught that in Scripture, that we're to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. It is another way to worship the Lord with what He has already given us. But look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, I believe it goes a lot deeper than just giving monetarily, because that's almost too easy. That's a very easy thing to do, though it can be a hard thing to do. And some do have a hard time doing that. But to me, it's the most easiest thing to do. The hardest thing to do is to give of yourself willingly, to give of your life, to allow the Lord to have His way with you. In Proverbs chapter 3, you look at verse 9 and 10, and the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Again, giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord what the Lord desires, what the Lord lays upon your heart to give, and God promises to bless you. Now, when you think about Abel, Abel by faith gave a more excellent sacrifice to the Lord than his brother Cain. It is all about trusting God with what God has provided for us. That is what we learn from the life of Abel, is that Abel was willing to give of himself even though it would cost him something near and dear to himself. That is a good report with God, because by faith we give of ourselves to the Lord, knowing that God will provide for us, knowing that God will do for us what we need when we need it. Go back and look at, go to Deuteronomy. I say go back, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And really, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 is the key to the faith of these men and women that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Because how could Abel offer such an excellent sacrifice to the Lord? How could he do what he did and receive such a good report for it with God? And it lies within our hearts. It lies within our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." As we look at each of these individuals in Hebrews 11, starting with Abel, you can see, if you go back to Genesis and actually look at the account of Abel giving of his sacrifice, you can see the love that Abel has for his Lord. Because God in the Old Testament, in Genesis, did desire the blood sacrifice. He desired that sacrifice of a lamb without blemish, because it was a picture of the coming Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Abel gave of himself, not reserving the best for himself, but giving the best to the Lord. And really, that's what it comes down to for you and me, is giving the best to the Lord, because we know God is worthy of our best. And we find a good report with the Lord when we do with all of our heart, give ourselves to the Lord through our sacrifices and through our offerings, because we're trusting God with what he has provided for us. Go back and look at Hebrews 11 and verse number 5. As we look at the second example of a man who found a good report with God through his faith. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Now, if we were to go to Genesis and read the account of Enoch, Enoch lived a while. Enoch walked with the Lord, and his testimony is that he walked with God and that he pleased God. But notice in verse 5, it says, before his translation, before he was received up into heaven, before God took him. And the Bible says, he was not found because God had translated him. There was a day when Enoch was just walking with the Lord. He had such a heart for the Lord, as demonstrated in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. He was all about the Lord, and the Lord could not see Enoch separated from him anymore. I mean, God wanted Enoch to be with him, and God took him. You know, there's going to come a day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take you and me home, because he wants us to be with him. He's prepared a place for us. And just like he told his disciples, "If I've prepared a place for you, I will come again to receive you so that you can be where I am." I mean, I'm looking forward to that day. And Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. He had a good report with God because he had a heart that desired that walk with God, that daily walk, to be next to the Lord, to hear the Lord speak to his voice, to be guided by the Lord. And it was his heart filled with faith towards God that helped him to be faithful when nobody else was being faithful. Enoch lived in a day and age when the imagination of the heart of men was evil continually. Enoch lived before the days of Noah's flood that the Bible tells us about. He lived among those that rejected God, that rebelled against God. Yet he had a walk with God, and you and I can have that same walk, and we do have that walk, and God wants us to cherish that walk. I mean, just in the short span of life that we see with Enoch, in fact, go to Genesis chapter 5. Turn back to Genesis chapter 5. And you look at verse 22. The Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat his son Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Can you imagine for as long as he lived, 365 years. I mean, over 300 years, he walked with God day in and day out. He had this relationship with God that he cherished. His heart was full of love for the Lord. We see that because you cannot be faithful to God without loving God, without desiring to be with the Lord daily. And he had this good report, as I'm sure you have as well, that you have a walk with God that's pleasing to the Lord. And we want to keep that good report with the Lord, that we are pleasing to him because we have a heart's desire to walk with the Lord daily, to be guided by the Lord. And we no doubt we're looking forward to the day that the Lord translates us or raptures us from this place to the next to be with him for eternity. When you go back to Hebrews 11, again, you're looking at the hall of faith. You see Abel, who offered a more excellent sacrifice by faith to God because he had a heart's desire to please the Lord and to give his best to the Lord. And we see Enoch, who loved the Lord so much that it didn't matter what society was doing, it didn't matter what people said, what they were doing against the Lord. He had a perfect walk with God because his heart was filled with love towards his Creator, and he was faithful to his faithful God. And then you come to verse number 7, and you find that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. When you come to the life of Noah, obviously Noah lived in the same day of wickedness and evilness, and God comes to Noah and God tells Noah that he's going to be the one to build this ark. That God was going to save Noah and his family and the animals that he would bring into the ark, but it would be there for others to see as well. You know, a good report with God is that we have a faith that, sure, our faith needs to be tested, our faith needs to be stretched, but our faith should never be shattered in the Lord. When you read the life of Noah and you read that 120 years Noah is in the building of the ark, 120 years of being tempted of frustration, tempted of giving up, tempted by people mocking and cursing, and maybe even at different times, the Bible doesn't say, but just knowing how people are, coming in the middle of the night, stealing tools, wrecking what he's doing, making it a little harder for him. And yet for 120 years, Noah is just faithful to do what God's called him to do, and I believe God giving him the grace to be able to do it. You know what? We cannot faithfully do what God gives us to do without a heart of love for our Savior. I mean, what helps us to be faithful to the Lord is to have a heart that's filled with love for our Lord and Savior. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Because as we go through Hebrews 11, and I'm only going over a few of the men and women listed in the chapter, but as you read the entire chapter and you read the faith of the men and women in this chapter, it's not that they were some super Christians. It's not that they were I don't know. Not like you and me. Sometimes people have a tendency to think because someone else's faith is stronger than theirs, that they're just not as good as them. Or that person, you know, they're super spiritual. No, I've come to find out that they're just ordinary people who over time, with the help of the Lord, have developed such a strong faith because of the experience of life. Again, the whole point of going through school is to learn things. But obviously, when you graduate high school and college, the learning never stops. Life is always full of learning, no matter what age you're at. Life is always full of learning. You know, I learned by watching my grandfather that you can have a drill go through your thumb and not say one word. I remember coming outside, I forget how old I was, maybe 8 or 9, and he was working on the air conditioning unit, and I come out and he's like just sitting there, thumb is just all dripping. I mean, I'm like, and he's like, son, go get me the gasoline. For what? And he took his thumb and dipped it in gasoline to kill any germs without even batting an eye, without flinching. I mean, my grandfather was, he was a big guy. He was someone that worked on a mule train logging at one time. But he was also a man of God. He was someone I admired to always see reading his Bible early in the morning in his chair. He just had this great presence about him because he had a walk with God. And just the way that he would handle things. His faith continued to grow. His relationship continued to grow. And I would hear stories of his past life. Running moonshine. And just doing things that obviously would not be pleasing to the Lord before he became a child of the King. You know what the wonderful thing about our Lord and Savior is? He doesn't judge us for our past life. He grades us on our current life as we walk by faith. As by faith we do what he asks us to do, the different things that he wants us to do. He gave Noah a great task to do, and by God's grace, Noah and his sons accomplished it. They probably had some servants helping them as well, but Noah being the one that was given the task by God, by faith, Noah had to trust God to help him to complete that task. And each of us have things that God's given us to do that by faith, we trust that God will help us to complete it. In Colossians chapter 3, you look at verse 17 and 23, the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You skip down to verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. When our focus is on pleasing people, we will be disappointed at times. We will not be so easily encouraged to finish what we started if somebody's not patting us on the back, if somebody is not, you know, giving us a high five, patting us on the back, you know, giving us some reward for what we're doing. But you know what? I found that when our focus is on the Lord, whatever the task at hand is, whether it's raising kids, whether it's teaching kids, you know, walking our own faith, walking our own relationship with the Lord, when the focus is God, that is what encourages us and helps us to be faithful and to accomplish by faith what God gives us to do. Again, when I think about being a parent, I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 because as a parent, God has given me and any other Christian parent a big task to accomplish. It is totally up to the Lord to work in a child's heart, just as in an adult's heart, to develop a faith in them, to help them to see that to live the life that is before them is to trust their Creator to help them to live that life before them. And as I even, when I read these verses, I'm even reminded, you know, what, just not just as a parent, and you'll see in a minute, but also as a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a junior church worker, a pastor. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you look at verses 6 through 9, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Again, as the Lord talks to the people of Israel, talks to the parents, talks to the adults, he encourages them to teach them the way of the Lord every moment that they have an opportunity. You know, I think about Noah just being faithful at the task that was given him and obviously letting the results come to pass as God would help him. Again, there is frustrations. There are setbacks in life. And anything that we do, we find at times that there are setbacks. But we can never allow setbacks to keep us from accomplishing what God's given us to do, trusting him for it. Again, by faith, Noah accomplished what God had given him. If you were to go back and look at verse 5 of Hebrews 11, and think about Enoch one more time. And think about, you know, again, the Bible tells us that it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. I should not compare my walk with God with somebody else and think that, well, my walk with God isn't, you know, it's not that great because, you know, they have a better walk or it seems like God's blessing them more. No, God doesn't play favorites. He's not like teachers who have their, you know, pet students that they like. And, you know, I never did like that. I never liked, sometimes, you know, people are people, not everyone's perfect, but sometimes, you know, teachers will have their favorite students that they always call on. They always, you know, give them a pass, you know, if they do something wrong, and then have other students that they're more hard on. What I'm saying is God doesn't have any favorites. Every one of us are his favorite because he died for each and every one of us, and he's working in our life. But here's the key. God wants to develop in each of us a heart that has a desire to fulfill his will for our life. Again, when you look at these men and women in Hebrews 11, each one of them found a good report with God because they found faith in accomplishing what God gave them to do. We all can sacrifice something to the Lord that God moves in our hearts to do. We all can do like Enoch and have a walk with God that pleases God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that should be something really that is near and dear to heart, something we want to accomplish, and that is a life that pleases God because we're walking by faith. We're trusting him. We're doing what he asks us to do. We're seeking out his will for our life, like Abraham in verses 8 through 10. You think about, sometimes I think about this, Abraham kind of minding his own business, but God called him out of his home country to go and sojourn in a land of promise, the Bible says, a land that he just, everywhere he went, God said, everywhere your foot lands, I'm going to give it to you. But he never found a city to dwell in. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, his two sons, the heirs with him of the same promise. That's a wonderful thing that God promised Abraham, and yet Isaac and Jacob are heirs of the same promise because it's a promise of faith. God promised that he would give them that land. And again, there is coming a day when the Israelites will have the entire land that God promised them. They just have a little portion right now, but there's coming a day when that will come to pass because God is not a man that he should lie. God's promise will come to pass. But you know what? They were heirs of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But Abraham, by faith, he sojourned. He followed the Lord, not knowing where he would end up, but trusting the Lord, relying upon the Lord. And there are times where we have to follow God, not knowing where we will end up, but knowing, you know what? God's called me to follow him, and God wants me to follow him, trusting him. And there are, again, there are times where God is not going to necessarily let us know all the details. He's not going to let us know all the details. We like to know all the details. I like to know how something's going to play out. I like to know how, you know, what's the end result. That's, again, I've said it before. That's why for me to read a book, I go to the end of the chapter to find out how the book ends. That way I can tell if I even want to read the book. It's the same when you think about with God. We have to trust him. Now, we want to know the outcome, but you know what? The best thing to do is to just follow the Lord by faith, trusting him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The first thing in that verse is to trust the Lord with all thine heart. I believe that goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, where we're told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. To love the Lord with all of our heart is to truly trust the Lord with all of our heart. Trust him with what he's given us to do. Trust him with what he's guiding us to do. Trust him with what he wants us to give back to him, to be that living sacrifice, to say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? You think about Paul on the road to Damascus. He had to trust the Lord when the Lord said, go into the city and it will be shown thee what you must do. Again, in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Abel had to trust the Lord by faith. Enoch had to trust the Lord by faith. Noah had to trust by faith that God would help him to accomplish a task that was much larger than him, a task that would take 120 years. I'm not Noah. I am someone that is still learning patience because my patience runs out probably 72 hours. I'm waiting on God. Okay, Lord, it's been 72 hours. How about now? But I have learned over time that God's timing is always right. God's never late. God's always on time. And I can just sit back, relax, and trust him. But again, the temptation, though, is always there to, okay, it's been long enough. Can you imagine building an ark the size that he had to build and the length of time that it took? And the fact in Scripture, we see God giving him the plans for the ark and then seemingly not speaking to Noah again until it was time to get into the ark. Now, we do like, when we are trying to accomplish things, we do like to know step by step the details, the instructions, the plans. If we come to a roadblock, we like to know, okay, Lord, how am I supposed to get around this? And we like to know those details ahead of time. But that's not the way that God works. God wants us to follow by faith. God wants us to have a good report because we have great faith with him. We are trusting him. We're going to faithfully follow where God leads, even if we don't understand all the details like Abraham. Abraham just followed by faith, trusting the Lord. And because Abraham had a faith with the Lord, I believe it helped his wife Sarah to have faith, even though she questioned what she had heard. Look at verses 11 and 12. Again, she's listed in the hall of faith. In verse 11 and 12, it says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. You know the account of Sarah, where Sarah was barren. She's up in her 90s. And angels came to Abraham on their way to destroy Sodom. And Abraham called the man. He provided for them. And Abraham was told he was going to have a son, that his wife Sarah would conceive. And in the tent, scripture says, Sarah laughed when she heard that. And they questioned her, why is Sarah laughing? And she tried denying it, because sometimes, honestly, when God tells us something that seems to us impossible, even though we know that God can, there's nothing impossible, sometimes we may have just that small inkling of, yeah, I don't think so. And you look at Sarah's life, God still accomplished what he said he would. He still allowed her to bear her own son. She thought it was a good idea to give Hagar, her handmaid, to Abraham so he could have the son that God said he would have. But that was not God's plan. Sometimes when God wants us to do something, we try to come up with a way of accomplishing it that is not according to God's will. But I'm glad that God is gracious and merciful towards us, that even when we make a mistake, God is still willing to show himself great and mighty in our life. He's still willing to help our faith to be strengthened, because God's desire for me and you is for us to have a good report of faith with him. God's desire is for you and me to have a good faith report with him. Look at Matthew chapter 19, if you would. Again, Sarah believed the Lord. She was faithful to trust God to use her even when she did not see it was possible. You know, over time we have, and I know that you have learned to trust the Lord in the impossibilities. The Bible teaches us that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And if God calls you to do something, God presses upon your heart to do something that seems like, God, there's no way I can do that, God always makes a way. God always gives us the ability to accomplish what he asks us to do. Going back to Noah, even though, again, scripture doesn't say it, just knowing how people are, I'm sure there were some difficult days with him. I'm sure that there were men that would come and just give him a hard time and try to make it difficult. But yet, because God was the one that called Noah to build that ark, God gave him the ability to finish it. And I'm sure along the way encouraged him, because our God is always encouraging us. Now, I'm glad that I live in the age of grace. I'm glad I live in the era of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Abraham, Noah, Enoch, they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they had a walk with God. God spoke to them. But to me, there's something different about having the presence of God in you to encourage you, to remind you that God's asked you to do it, he's going to help you to accomplish it, whether it seems too hard to us or not. Matthew 19, verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God wants us to have a good report of faith, and God will help us to accomplish that because God's desire for you and me is to have a strong faith in Him, a faith that's unwavering, a faith that can be tested. God wants our faith to be tested because He wants our faith to be strengthened. He wants our faith to grow. In Luke 1:37, Gabriel said to Mary, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing. She didn't see how she could become pregnant with a child, not being married, not having been with any men. She said, I've never been with a man. She was engaged, but obviously the angel said, with God, nothing. Nothing shall be impossible. There's nothing God can't not do. I mean, if God can plant a seed in the womb of a woman without the intervention of a man, what is it that God cannot help us to accomplish in our own life? Again, God's desire is for our faith to grow in Him. His desire is for us to have a heart that's full of love towards Him that will help us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our life. Again, for with God nothing shall be impossible, and nothing means nothing. There is nothing that God cannot do in our life. There's nothing that God cannot accomplish in our life. God wants us to trust Him completely, wholeheartedly. God wants us to have such a love for Him that we're willing to say, here am I, Lord. Show yourself great and mighty in my life. Help me, Lord, to have a walk like Enoch, where my walk with you pleases you because I have such a great faith in you. I have a desire to walk with you daily. Again, what does not please the Lord is when we find ourselves doubting what God can do in our life. What does not please the Lord is where we complain about what God's doing. You just don't see that in the life of these that are listed in Scripture. They're human. They had their trials. They lived in difficult times. Yet they had a good report with God because of their faith towards God. Again, look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And I'm glad that God does not leave it up to us to accomplish this defeat, or this feat, I should say, in our life. He doesn't leave it up to us to try to strengthen our faith on our own, to try to develop a stronger walk with Him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God says if we'll come to Him by faith, trusting Him with whatever it is, He will help us with it. But we have to have faith enough to even come to Him. Faith enough to even trust Him. Faith enough to even give Him what we're holding on to, what we're struggling with. To know that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When you think about faith, that is a good report with God. And you know what? Even if at this moment we have just a small amount of faith, that's pleasing to the Lord. And He can take that small faith and He can grow that faith if we allow Him. And even if we have great faith right now, God wants our faith to even expound greater than that. Enoch had such a walk with God that it pleased the Lord. And that's one of my goals in my life, is to have such a walk with God that God desires to take me home with Him. I know one day I'll be with Him. Understand, sometimes we don't meditate on the fact that there's something to having a great walk with God. We know that God's there. We know that He exists. We know He created everything. But sometimes I think we miss out on greater things he wants us to see in a relationship with him. I think, well, Pastor, I do have a relationship with the Lord. So do I. But I personally, and I'm sure you do, desire so much more. Desire so much more. Enoch walked with God. But look how long he walked with God after his son Methuselah was born. 300 more years he walked with God. A total of 365 years. Do you imagine in those 300 years that Enoch might have been faced with some difficulties, some hardships? Absolutely. But you know what? Apparently it never caused him to stop loving his walk with God and desiring that daily walk with God, that daily fellowship with God. Honestly, the things that happen in our life should cause us to desire that relationship even more. Because we know there's nothing God can't do. There's no hardship he cannot bring us through. There's no sadness that he cannot comfort us about. There's nothing that God cannot do in our life. And God desires a good report for us. And again, like school, I'm glad I don't have to do it on my own. I'm glad that he's given us of the Holy Spirit to help us to accomplish that. To help us to accomplish having that heart's desire that I want what God wants for me. And what God wants for me is that close relationship. I was talking to somebody even recently just about Adam in the Garden of Eden and how God walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of day. And how after Adam had sinned, the Bible says that God came into the garden because Adam said that I heard your voice. And God had come looking for Adam and even calling for Adam. It's not that God didn't know where he was at. It's not that God didn't know what he had done. God knows our struggles. He knows where sometimes, you know, we have a hard time trusting him. We have a hard time, you know, just letting go and saying, Lord, however you want to take care of it. And God's always there waiting for us just to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my faith to grow, Lord. Help me to trust you more. Help me to rely upon you more. Help me, Lord, to be in the hall of faith. Not because I'm anybody great, but because you're great and you're working in my life.